This is KCUR. State House Blend is a weekly political podcast from KCUR that investigates the Kansas legislature and the Missouri General Assembly.
Introduce yourself, please.
I'm Jason Kander. I'm the Missouri Secretary of State.
Very good. Let's get started.
This is State House Blend. I'm Sam Zeh.
And I'm Brian Ellison. We're using coffee
and donuts
to better understand the legislatures on both sides of the state line.
The issues and the people in Topeka.
And Jeff City. Here we go. And State House Blend is underway with the Secretary of State. We're glad you're here, Jason Kander. This is where we get to know people who haunt the State House. Usually, it's state representatives and senators we have in that chair, so it's nice to have a statewide elected official with us today. We also have, as always, our citizen guest, Nick Schultz, who lives in Brookside. He's a doctoral student in social work. Welcome to you, Nick.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
And also the host of KCUR's Up to Date, my friend Steve Kraske.
Hi, Brian.
Good to see you. Let's go around the table first. Steve Kraske.
You know, I was wondering, Jason, about the culture in the State House. There's been so much talk based on some stories that we've done at the Star about, you know, interns and sexual harassment and sort of just the whole culture of the building. You know, a lot of folks like yourself who favor ethics reform in the building, and you've worked on that for a number of years, say there's a connection between ethics reform and improving the culture in the building. Explain that to me. What is the connection?
I just think that so much of what comes out of Jefferson City that is embarrassing is a symptom of the fact that we have the worst campaign finance and ethics laws in the country. And you can't absolve people of responsibility for that. I mean, it certainly doesn't absolve any of the behavior that you mentioned, and you can't say, well, it's because of this. I just can't get my mind around the idea that it's not related. I mean, it's at the end of the day, when folks feel like there are no consequences for their actions, then you get actions in a wide variety of different areas that you don't approve of. We spend, and this is not just in the state, nationally, I think we spend a lot of time, understandably, talking about and focusing on who we elect. And I think that's important, but I think we really miss out on another issue, which is how we elect people in this country. And I think that money in politics and reforms are obviously an important, very important part of that. But I've come to believe that there's a couple other areas that people have to talk about. And that is how we do primaries in this country. I mean, the fact that most places, you know, Missouri technically has what you can sort of refer to as an open primary because you go in and you can request either, you know, any party's ballot. But it's not really a true open primary. I mean, there are states that are doing real open primaries now, which are where you go in and in your August or whenever you have the primary on the August ballot, there's candidates from every party on that ballot. You vote, it gets narrowed down to two, and then you have in the general election, if it's a heavily Democratic or heavily Republican area, you could have two candidates from the same party on that ballot. But that means that those candidates are going to have to be accountable to a much wider group of voters, right? Because the general election is going to have a lot more people vote in it. It means that if they come from a district that is very heavily one party, they can't discount the people who are more of the other party or of independent because they're still going to see those voters in the general election, and that general election will have much more to do with who wins. And then finally, redistricting reform. I mean, we don't let inmates serve on juries, but we let legislators draw districts. And I don't think that makes any sense at all, right? It's crazy.
Yeah. You just compared legislators to inmates, but that's fine. You were one once.
I was not misquoted.
Well, I guess the question that sort of begs for me is, you are the Secretary of State. Elections are under your purview. What sort of power do you have to actually address that, to do anything about it, and why isn't it fixed yet?
Why it's not fixed yet? You know, I'm doing everything that I can, to be honest with you. And my role here, in addition to, you know, I'm the chief election official of the state, so, and I'm very proud of a lot of the things that we've done there in that role. But a lot of this is the same thing that I've tried to do on this issue when I was in the state legislature, and that's, it's a bully pulpit. It's move the national conversation, or in this case, the state conversation, in that direction. And when I was in the State House, when I first got into the State House, you know, obviously ethics reform, campaign reform, it's not what you would refer to as a bread and butter issue. It's not the things that people talk about all the time. But I'm a really big believer in the idea that when you get a system right, you're going to get better policy output on every other issue. So I talked about this all the time in my first campaign for the legislature and in my second campaign and all my town halls. And I was really proud of the fact that by the time I was toward the end of my last term in the House, when I would get stopped in the grocery store by constituents or when I do a town hall, it was one of the first things people asked about. And I found that by making sure to ring this bell as much as I can as Secretary of State, I'm finding that that's the case as I go around the state now.
Nick Schultz, what would you say or ask of Secretary of State Jason Kander?
So we were talking about elections, and I just was wanting to ask if you how you intend on reaching ethnic minorities and in the light of events
so
like what happened in Ferguson. What can we do to promote and support ethnic minorities in Missouri?
So to me, this just sort of goes to one of my kind of rules of being in public service, which is I feel like there are an awful lot of people in public service who, for whatever reason, feel like they can't go to a place or address an issue until they have the answers. And that's always been sort of confounding to me because I don't see how they get the answers if you don't go there
right.
and talk to people. And so, for instance, what I've done in Ferguson is, within a few days of when this all started back in a little over a year ago, I went there and I just talked to a lot of people and I asked a lot of questions, and I've continually done that. I was there yesterday. I spend a lot of time there because I don't have all the answers, but the more time I spend there, the more I know. I'll be there later today.
Sorry to interrupt. How does that fit in with the work of Secretary of State? Because you have spent a lot of time there. You tweet from there pretty regularly. Mm-hmm. You've got this Ferguson rebuild effort. How does that fit in with the Secretary's job?
So when this all really started last year, I probably felt like a lot of people, whether they're in office or not, just frustrated in the sense that you want to do something. You want to try to help the situation. And the Secretary of State's office, I'm the chief election official, chief record keeper for the state, chief securities regulator. There's obviously not a natural fit there, but I wanted to do everything I could because those are my constituents to help identify a problem we could help solve, right? Well, one of the things we do is business registration, and we work a lot with businesses around the state. And the more time I spent there and the more I talked to small business owners and to others, to the mayor of Delwood, for instance, and Delwood is right next door to Ferguson and was very much affected as well, the more I came to realize that one of the worst things that could happen going forward in the long term would be if we didn't successfully get some of the small businesses or as many as the small businesses as possible that were damaged or destroyed or otherwise to come back into that main strip along West Florissant, for instance, because while you have a national conversation that has started out of the events in Ferguson, you still have 72 businesses that were damaged or destroyed or vandalized. And it's very hard for a community to rebuild and to get going again when you have that situation. And so what I looked at that and found that, okay, there were zero interest loans that were being offered by government. And a lot of business owners were saying, hey, look, I took out debt in order to start my business in the first place. It's a lot, even at zero interest, it's a lot to ask of me to take on more debt to reopen in a place that's had what's happened in Ferguson happen. And there was no grant program at the county or state level. And so what we did is I worked with the business community in St. Louis, and we also got help from around the country because we did a crowdfunding campaign. And we did this thing, which we called hashtag Ferguson Rebuild. And what it was to try and help provide grants to incentivize businesses to come back. And that's, we hit our goal. It's been, it's not a cure-all by any stretch, but I'm proud of what we've done there. And I believe it's starting to make an impact.
Thanks for being here, Nick.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And thanks to you, my friend of The Star and of UpToDate, Steve Kraskin.
You bet, Brian.
Jason, in an effort to get to know you just a little bit better, we always close the show by asking our guest his favorite song.
My favorite song is a song called I'm Coming Home by Robert Earl Keen.
And why that one?
Between the Army and then going away for college and then coming back and then the legislature and then campaigning, I feel like 90% of my life is about trying to get back to my house and get back to my wife and my son.
Outstanding. Well, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you very much.
Statehouse Blend is produced by Matt Hodapp. I am Brian Ellison. We'll see you next time.
That was an excerpt from Statehouse Blend, KCUR's podcast about the Kansas Legislature and the Missouri General Assembly. You can listen to the full episode by subscribing to us on iTunes or at kcur.org/statehouseblend.